Terry at 10:15. It's Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein checks back in with the former executive at Oracle, who resigned in protest to his company joining Trump's transition team. At 11, Health Watch makes the case against sugar with author Gary Tobbs. He'll delve into America's history with sugar and will explain what research shows about our addiction to sweets. And at 11:30, it's Madness Radio, voices and visions from outside mental health. This is KBOO. It's 7:59. More talk radio is next.
They're playing.
Nope. No March Madness here for us, but we do have our very own special bracket that we want you, the listeners of KBOO, to be part of. We'll be celebrating the melancholy March sadness this month, and we'd like you to contribute some music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So just go to the KBOO website and search Diablo Sadness, enter some songs, and then come back later to vote. We'll be broadcasting the winners on March 24th.
Sounds like she's having a good time.
She's crying. It's backwards. Sort of makes me sad when I hear it. Sounds like she's laughing, doesn't it?
KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Rob Wallace speech, Big Farms Grow Unhealthy Food, They Also Grow New Diseases. That's next Monday, March 6th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland.
Bird flu, Ebola, Zika virus are emerging across the globe at increasing pace. Evolutionary biologist Rob Wallace shows that the apparently disconnected outbreaks are the product of globalized agribusiness. He also discusses solutions, such as an agroecology model of food production.
Again, that's Rob Wallace speaking on Big Farms Grow Unhealthy Food, They Also Grow New Diseases, on Monday, March 6th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Action Plan, Immigration Rights, on Sunday, March 19th at the Concordia University Library in Portland. Oregon Action Plan is a series of events to inform and empower our community. This first event will focus on immigration in Oregon. How is what's happening on the national level affecting people in Oregon? What are organizations doing to support and protect their communities? And what can allies do to be effective and supportive? Again, that's Oregon Action Plan, Immigration Rights, on Sunday, March 19th at the Concordia University Library, 2800 Northeast Liberty Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and KBOO.fm via the World Wide Web. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. I will be joined by Celeste Carey soon. And today is Monday, March 6, 2017. We will be talking about International Women's Day, which is celebrated throughout the world on March 8th, this Wednesday. This date marks a mass protest that took place in New York on the 8th of March, 1857, when women from sewing and shoe factories demonstrated for the same rights as men. At that time, men had recently won a 10-hour workday, but women had been overlooked in the legislation and left on a 16-hour workday. As a result, they publicized this event, and it gained public support. International Women's Day itself was the result of the efforts of women throughout the world, beginning at the early part of the 20th century. It is an official holiday in 27 countries throughout the world. So how exactly did it begin? Well, we would have to go back to a time when, at the beginning of the 20th century and industrialization, the idea of an International Working Women's Day was first proposed by Clara Zetkin of the, quote, Women's Office, unquote, of the German Social Democratic Party. She put forward the idea of a second International Conference of Working Women in 1910. That conference drew participants from over 17 countries, over 100 women. They represented union, socialist parties, and working women's clubs throughout the world, including, at that time, the first three female members of the Finnish Parliament. Her proposal was adopted unanimously, and the first International Women's Day was observed the following year in 1911. More than 1 million people attended the International Women's Day in 1911 to demand basic rights for women, including the right to work, job training, equal pay, suffrage, and the right to hold elected office. A few days later, the famous Triangle Factory fire occurred in New York City. 146 women were killed when a fire swept through that factory. That incident, that tragic incident, galvanized labor and the women's movement. And from there, we have history. Women organizing, working women organizing throughout the world, which has continued up to this day. It's interesting, I think, that International Women's Day was originally known as International Working Women Day. I think it's important for us to recognize the socialist and working background of this day. Today, we would like to hear from you about International Women's Day. Many of you might be aware of this year, there has been a call in this country for a women's strike. Throughout this nation, women are organizing in their workplaces and where they go to school to put particular emphasis on women's issues. The National Coordinating Committee of the Women's Strike has been coordinating with those people who were involved on that historic women's march a few weeks ago, when hundreds of thousands, millions of people throughout this nation, in small towns and large city, publicly demonstrated on the cause and the reason why we need to stand up for women's rights. So perhaps as a part two of that, there has been a call for women's strike on March 8. It is a call of solidarity with women throughout the world who will be striking and demonstrating on such things as the International Global Gag Rule, fight for $15 here in the United States, and many others. So today, we would like to hear from you on this issue. What particularly are the issues that you are concerned about, and how are you organizing on this important issues? Is International Women's Day something that we need to participate in order to, according to the IWD website, to help forge a better working world, a more gender-inclusive world. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. Now, we have a habit of hearing from voices of people who identify as men. I certainly hope that this day we will hear callers who identify as women. What particularly are the issues that women face? Are you able to strike on this day? The ironic thing about it is that those who most need their voices heard are unable, cannot afford to take off, either because it's impossible to find jobs that give you the opportunity to take a day off, or for women who care for small children, childcare remains a difficult issue for women to gain. So, men, how can we be supportive allies and or for this? And women, what are the issues that you face that need to be uplifted in this country, this city, in your community? The marvelous thing about organizing is that if it's done correctly, it allows the voices of the unheard to be heard. So we give you this opportunity 2 days before the celebration. I'm not sure that's the right word. The organizing around women's issues is heard throughout the world. Isn't it peculiar, I think, that International Women's Day is a national holiday in dozens of countries, but not so in the United States. So, a few months ago, we had as our guest Kianga Yamata Taylor, who was the author of the book Black Lives Matters, hashtag Black Lives Matters to Black Liberation. She is an assistant professor of African American Studies at Princeton University. And she has been a principal organizer, one of the original people who called for a women's strike on August 8th. I came across an interview that she did that is published in These Times, Tuesday, February 28th, where she talks about the origin of it. And I will read it shortly. And as phone calls come in, we'll take a pause and listen to your voices. So Sarah Jaffe asked her, began the interview by saying, you were one of the original people who called for a women's strike on March 8th. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And Kianga Yamata says, well, the idea for the women's strike actually did not originate in the United States, but it is a call in solidarity with women's organizations from 30 different countries who put out a call for a strike on International Women's Day, March 8th. This is our effort at trying to explain why it is important that American feminists sign on this call and really try to be part of the movement that is trying to, in this country, be a part of our intention is to bring politics back to International Women's Day by turning it into a political event, by highlighting the ways that women continue to suffer from misogyny and sexism in the United States and to give concrete descriptions of that. She continues, but also The strike is about highlighting the way that women's work or women labor is at times unseen. It can be undervalued, underpaid. The strike is about drawing attention to that by, in effect, extracting those many different manifestations of women's labor on March 8th to highlight the extent to which women's labor continues to play a central role in the political and, I would say, social economy of the United States. Those are the words of Professor Kianga Yamata of Princeton University explaining to Sarah Jaffe why she and many others are calling for a women's strike on International Women's Day. She highlights in that quote that I just shared the fact that the idea of International Women's Day is acknowledged in many quarters in the United States, but what I think somehow forgets or put under the undermine the fact of its socialist origin and the need for working women to have their voices heard. If you will go, for example, to the website internationalwomensday.com, which I assume is an official site of whoever copyrighted that name, there's a lot of good information, but you also see some of the International Women's Day partners include an insurance company, includes banks, includes petroleum companies, and I think in part that symbolizes how it has lost some of its meaning. And so there is that call here in the United States in a way to bring back the intentionality and the power of International Women's Day. So, men, how can you be a supportive allies? Women, what does this day mean to you? Give us a call at 503-231-8187. And let's go to our caller, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Cecil, and thank you for this program. I know I'm not a woman. I'm sorry about that. I actually need to apologize, but I just wanted to tell you that I lost a very important woman in my life just about a month ago. It was my mother, and that was tough because she was a good teacher.
Yes.
And I believe all women have the capacity to be good teachers. Men do too, but women in even greater capacity because they are on the ground, in the world, in the life, in the family, right there, knowing so much, almost intrinsically. But I did want to say, Cecil, speaking as a man, that I feel that in a very generalized way, one of the chief problems amongst my fellow men all over this world is that we do not recognize that we carry an X chromosome. In fact, we may resent that. And until we as men acknowledge that we carry that X chromosome, we fail utterly to come to a place of empathy and understanding. And the fact is that women have been doing the hardest work for the longest time. Let's go back thousands of years, and perhaps the most important occupation among humans all these years has been carrying water. In fact, we say that of plans of men and so forth. Does this carry water? Well, carrying water is the most ancient occupation, and almost invariably to this day, it is done by women. And to begin to acknowledge at least these two things, it presents us a route away from our testosterone-filled patriarchy that continues to cause this oppression. As to women's strike, I don't know, you're on your own. I'm sure that the ladies who will be calling soon will have some grand ideas. But I thought that I should tell you that because the woman that I lost this last month was, and I don't use this title lightly, she was the hardest working, most self-sacrificing person I have ever known.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for sharing. I reach out to you in sympathies and offer my condolences for the loss of your mother, and hope that you continue to draw strength from her inspiration and continue to be a good ally for women in your lives and indeed throughout our communities.
I think you're right, Cecil, because I was told by another woman friend, she said, "Now you are Betty's son." And what a legacy to have to live up to, you know? So each day is a new day where, again, I have to prove to myself and others that I am not merely me, but I am Betty's son.
Well,
thank you so much, Cecil.
Thank you so much, Betty's son. This is KBOO, More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. We're talking about International Women's Day, which is March 8th, the call for a women's strike. And we would like to hear from a variety of voices to share why this is an important day for them. Let's go to our next caller. Karen, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I wanted to just put in the perspective of I'm 71, and every job that I ever worked, I had a male boss. I was told by my first boss at Johns Hopkins, where I was applying to be an editor, that he would hire me because he could pay me less. It was not something he was afraid of saying in those days. I was, you know, of course, like most women, sexually harassed, blah, 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 paid less. I worked in a factory trying to organize a union. All the bosses were male and all the workers were female, except for those who were handicapped. I've worked as an editor at MIT. I've worked as an editor at Harvard and at New England Medical Center. All of those places, all male bosses. And we were not really, the women were really not seen as quite human. That was my experience. I mean, we were marginalized in a bizarre way. And I don't think it's changed much. And now, under Trump, of course, it's even worse. And I had a friend in the office at New England Medical Center whose husband was a truck driver, and he said he would not put the chicken in, which she had already prepared, into the oven while she was at work. They had a child because it was her job. It was her job to do the laundry. I mean, it was her job to do all the housework as well as work a full day. I don't know how much that has changed. Maybe that's changed some. But I think that we really, what we are demanding is to be seen as human beings with contributions to make that are unique and that are important, and that the abuse that women suffer physically and emotionally, it has to stop. Rape and so on. This is what International Women's Working Day brings up for me. And it's not pretty in a lot of ways. So I think that perspective has to be introduced, okay? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is More Talk Radio, and thank you for sharing your perspective in terms of your work experience that I think people need to hear and be reminded of. I'm Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey, and one of the things I think that we really need to remember is that this is a team effort. And whether you believe in a creator or another system of development for the human species, the fact is that this is a team effort. That means that equally, intelligence, drive, creativity, strength has been distributed. There's no such thing as a subservient a member of the team with regard to humanity, with regard to human species. I'm fascinated that there are still countries, European countries and United States electeds that believe that women should earn less money than men simply because men have the obligation of supporting a family. What should I say? It is as a custom. as a practice, forgetting that there are a lot of single-parent families that are run by women, or that women in some families, because of various dynamics, are the sole salaried person. So what we need to do, for example, on a grassroots level, is to look up those senators and representatives who are supporting anything less than equality for women, and call them and ask them why, and ask them what they plan to do to make the world a better place for their wives and daughters.
And our numbers are 503-231-8187. We'd like to hear how men might be allies and women. Why is it important to support International Working Women's Day and the call for a women's strike? Good morning, Frances.
Good morning.
Hi. I was just listening to your last caller and realized that most of my jobs, I'm 68 now, and most of my jobs were, I had a woman as a supervisor or as the executive director for various social service organizations that I had worked. And I realized also that the men on our staff had a respect for women that maybe we don't find everywhere else. And I don't know that it was because, you know, that our executive director was a woman. I think they just were made that way. But my point I wanted to talk about was that a lot of the issues that I as a woman have had are issues that concern the men in my life. And that includes mass incarceration and oppression. And I have a problem with a woman, the only way that a woman can be successful, particularly in this country, in our politics, is by participating in the oppressive system and doing it well. My concern right now is for all the women who are suffering as a result of oppressive actions. And I think the biggest, baddest sign in any women's march should be end collateral damage. There are women and children who are suffering immensely right now, just on the other side of the world, and we don't even discuss it. It's not even mentioned in the news. It's rarely, if it is, it's a very small little special piece, and then we go on to talk about who told on who and who's tapping whose phones and, you know, stuff that doesn't really matter. Meanwhile, some very oppressive actions are taking place. And with the new ICE raids that are going on, there's a lot of oppression taking place. And I don't know, you guys may have seen or heard the video of a little girl crying as she's videotaping her daddy being arrested by ICE.
Right, yes. While she's going to school, yeah.
Right, you know, so... I'm all for women getting equal pay and everything, but while we're doing that, we need to realize that we are participating in a very oppressive system, and we need to look at what's going on to the men in our lives right now also.
All right.
And recognize that we all have a very serious oppression to deal with.
Well, thank you for your call, and thank you for reminding us.
Okay. Francis made note of the issues of working women and their issues, and I think it aligns to what Professor Kianga Yamata said in the interview from In These Times. She says, I think a part of what we are reacting to, there are a couple of things. Part of the reaction is against the prevailing notion of lean-in feminism, which has been a popular idea, most notably in support of Hillary Clinton's campaign for president. The idea that the last frontier for women to challenge are these glass ceilings that block the ascension of women in electoral politics or in corporate America. She continues, I think for us that actually is not the last frontier for ordinary and working class women. The traditional shackles on poor and working class women are still in effect and actually have to be responded to and attended to. The feminism for the 99% is about rejecting the idea that women are only or primarily concerned with their role in the elite male world, but that there are still very basic issues such as access to reproductive health care, access to abortion, wage differentials. Black women make 63 cents for each dollar that white men make, for example, which of course is lower than the usual barometer that people use, the 78 cents to the dollar that white women make. Black women make substantially less than that. And she continues along the line that Frances raised, and that's an interview in These Times magazine.
We'd like to welcome you to call in 503-231-8187, and especially younger women and folks who haven't called in before, to talk about what they are doing, especially for this opportunity, this high-profile opportunity, Women's March. Good morning, April. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm glad to be on the air. Thank you, Cecil and Celeste, for doing this. And thank you, Cecil, especially for recognizing that a lot of women may not be able to participate in a strike for whatever reason.
Yes.
You're right. We don't necessarily have good enough jobs to be able to take days off. I'm a caregiver, and I couldn't take a day off just because the people need the care. But I also could not afford to take a day off and still pay my rent.
Yes.
And also, you said there had been a women's strike organized. I haven't heard a thing about it, so that's kind of remarkable. I suspect that it was probably mostly organized over the computer. And that's another thing. A lot of low-income workers do not have access to a computer.
Pure and simple, that is it. Or a cell phone that has internet access.
That's correct. So I definitely like the emphasis on International Working Women's Day and recognizing that we're still really low paid, and if we don't want to participate in the male world, we pretty much are confined to a certain range of usually lower paying jobs.
Yes.
So you're right, that's what needs to change. And like the caller before me said, that we really need to all work together and recognize the different ways in which we're all oppressed. It's hard for any of us to change things all by ourselves. We need to organize and get out in the streets together.
That's true. But don't forget that they're still making those phone calls or taking a moment when you have access, if you have access to email, to send those emails, because sometimes that's the great tool that we can use, that that the phone calls can sometimes overcome those class and access differences.
I think that's really true. I think that I know my experience has been, I've signed up with so many organizations. I don't even sign lists anymore because they just want your email address.
Yes.
And sometimes they say they'll actually call me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one organization out of the dozens and dozens I've signed up with that said they would actually call.
Right. Well, in that case, that's rule number one when we organize as not the powerful moneyed elites, is to remember that we have to have a broad way of connecting, and not forget that there are people who are not electronically connected and divide us by those means.
That's right. And I do appreciate that KBOO does that.
Yes, we still have face-to-face and phone calls.
Yes, yeah, we just need more places that do that.
All righty. Well, thank you for your call.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, April. And you who are listening, you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil, and I'm glad I'm here with Celeste this morning. I appreciate appreciated April's remarks, and again, the call to look at the issues that working women face. I came across this article, which in, you know, of all magazines, I didn't expect. But
what was that?
It was in Vogue magazine.
Okay.
Talking about how men can be allies. I never picked up Vogue, so I just assume it was like a fashion magazine or something. But anyway, it says men are allies. You can, one, pick up the domestic slack, do the housework, feed the kids, babysit, prepare the meals, etc. Organize a strike in your workplace and involve your union. And if you're a student, join the walkout that many campuses are having on March 8th. Take a break from porn and do some soul searching on what kind of pornography or sex work you support. Ask yourself, am I contributing to the exploitations of sex workers? Join protests, marches, go hear the speeches, and spread awareness and make your support public. This does not mean post something to Twitter. Do that, sure. But also talk to the people around you about what's going on.
Yes, indeed. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And I want to go back to the whole idea of creating more access for those who don't have the high-powered elite positions. And by high-powered elite positions, I'm talking about not making a living wage or struggling to support families and creating a paradigm shift. Because we keep talking about grassroots organizing. We keep talking about putting together women's marches or marches that relate to various aspects of oppression and what have you. But again, we've heard from people who have tried to be part of that paradigm shift or that movement and have been excluded mostly because of education and economics. So what are some ways that we can make that important shift, make that quantum leap that actually involves low-income women, women who may not have attained the economic and educational levels they want, but still have much wisdom to share. Callers, what have you learned? What have you discovered? What are you working on that does away with that really arbitrary boundary there? The caller, it might have been April that said it, that she heard there was a women's march that had been organized for Portland. And what I've been reading is that the Portland march that we had recently for women is facing scrutiny, you know, because of excluding folks, not making themselves as welcome as they could be.
Well, certainly, you know, there was that going into the march, the reorganizing of the march, new leaders, and that continues to be a problem for many of the movements for social justice. A reason why I think it's important to go back, in particular in this issues, and to reaffirm and reclaim International Working Women's Day. And that was about women who were the bottom of the working world. And March 8th is taken because it was a women's strike. It became an international phenomenon because of the Triangle Factory fire.
Yes,
where
the garment workers.
Women, mostly newer immigrants, were killed, and so I think it's important to not only lift up those origins, but to lift up those continuing concerns. So I know it was Mrs. Clinton who, at the conference in the 90s, who first said, "Women's rights are human rights." Human rights or women's rights, and lifting up those concerns. So, for example, the struggle for working women and to get fair wages, I think is an important example of raising those issues.
This is your community connection, KBOO Portland, and we have callers standing by. Good morning, Jamie. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you.
So there are two bills in the Oregon Senate. Right now they're being fast-tracked, so it's been really difficult for protesters to stop them because, I mean, they've already had hearings, and they're being fast-tracked through the Oregon Senate. There are two bills around prostitution. Curb prostitution as much as they seek to penalize, stigmatize, and prevent women who work in the sex industry from finding other types of work. The first one, HB 2141, it takes away the driver's license of anyone who is convicted of prostitution. And only two other states do that, California and Florida. But what California and Florida do is they take away the driver's license of the buyer and also anyone who is like convicted of seeking sex services or prostitution services. So the buyer, they take away their license, which is usually the man, and they also will take away the license of a woman convicted of prostitution, but only if she's convicted of sort of like solicitation in like in a bad area close to homes, within 1,000 feet of homes, whereas Oregon's bill doesn't differentiate between any kind of being in a bad area in the open or being in a strip club or being in a lingerie modeling studio or being in an undercover sting. And it only penalizes women and not the men. So that doesn't make sense to me.
You mentioned two bills. What was the other one?
The other one is HB 2142, and this one is even worse, I guess you could say, because it takes away the ability for anyone convicted of prostitution from obtaining any kind of professional license that would help get them out of the sex industry. This is true. This is the bill. This is the bill. I mean, it will take away the ability for women to get a cosmetology license, beautician's license, acupuncture license, real estate license, any sort of professional license. So, it makes it so that women are actually more likely to stay in the sex industry because they won't have any, it limits a lot of their ability for other types of work, and it doesn't make sense at all. And this is the only law in the nation, proposed law in the nation like that. This is the worst, harshest law in the nation on prostitution.
And who are the sponsors of this legislation, and how can people?
Senator Taylor, she's a Democrat, and she represents parts of Portland and Hillsborough, I believe. And then Representative Hoffman, and he represents the Dallas area.
And if people want more information about this, is there a phone number or organization you may direct us to?
You know, I have a new Facebook page up. It's very new because this bill just came on all of a sudden. It's Adult Workers United Oregon.
Okay. And can you give both the senator and the representative's name again?
Yeah, it's Senator Taylor. She's a woman, and she represents parts of Portland and Hillsborough, I believe. And then Representative Huffman, and he's in the Dalles.
Okay. Hoffman or Huxman?
It's Huffman. It's H-U-F-F-M-A-N.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So now this is one of the ways we can do a grassroots action here. You can make these calls. You can also call your representatives or your senators who have not sponsored or signed on to this bill and ask that they very actively oppose it. So work it both ways, and phone calls are good for this, since all of us don't have the high-powered, high-tech access. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. I may have missed any announcement because I got in late on the program, but will there be any marches or demonstrations planned for downtown Portland on Wednesday, Women's Day?
Oh, you know, you Cecil, April, and myself have heard that there were, but we've got no specific information. We've only heard that there were going to be something. And that in and of itself is kind of perplexing. It's like we can hear that there's going to be something, but you can't give the details for some reason. I don't know where they are.
Okay, well, I will go back to my internet and see what I can find, but thank you for that. Okay.
And if you find something, be sure to let us know here at KABU.
I will.
All righty.
Thank you, Celeste.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, and actually, I haven't heard about what's... if there's anything happening in Oregon. I've heard in different cities, but I have no idea what's happening in Portland.
Well, I've heard that there are, let's see, some immigration protests slated for today, and a couple of other, police brutality. But in terms of some actual...
what's happening on
Women's Day marches, I've just heard that there's going to be, but nothing more.
Well, let's go to our next caller. Mike, how are you today?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just, I got a question. When you guys talking about equity and pay for female, for women, that's one of the reasons why I endorse the Donald Trump attitude that people should be allowed to come in America based on merit. So if all these unskilled females that are slipping across the border, what they're doing is undermining the pay of American women. But what
right.
I can't understand is that why Americans go out and they protest sending these people back, but when Black Lives Matter was out there, I didn't see all these white people coming out the woodwork supporting Black Lives Matter. I didn't see none of that.
Michael, you raised several points, and just to focus on your first, where you're talking about immigrant women. I think it's important to note that this is International Women's Day, and the fact is that in terms of what impact women is at international, so. It's not just solely a U.S. or a problem for other nations. It's an international problem.
So all women.
As we begin to address these issues, we need to ask ourselves as men, is what can we do to support women? I noted earlier where Professor noted that Black women, and I assume she means I know she means Black women in the United States only earn 63 cents that white men make. And I think, especially for us men and, Black men such as I am, we need to hear the voices of our mothers, our sisters, our lovers, and also examine
our
and our daughters, and ask ourselves, what are we doing, or what to prevent women from having their voices heard and their power, having their power, and how can we affirm them and ways in which we can support them and in many, many ways, and ask ourselves, what are we doing that prevents women from being who they are called to be?
So that's what we're looking at. And in terms of the so-called women slipping across the border and diluting our ability for earning power, that's a fallacy, because the jobs that many immigrants take are not the kind of jobs that a lot of people would want, because they are low paying and low insured jobs. And most Americans are trying to get a living wage. And that's not to say that immigrants should have less than a living wage. It's just to say they're not taking jobs away from us.
Well, I mean, that's a myth, too, because...
Okay, how is that a myth, Mike? No, I'm not going to accept that. Give me some proof. Where did you read that? Where did you find that that's a myth?
Let me go by what... I didn't have
No. I want a source, Mike. I want a source. No, you can't. You can't say anything but a source. That's all you can tell me, is where you heard or read this.
I see immigrant women...
That's not what I ask you. How do you know that they weren't born here? You don't know that. You didn't ask them for papers. So stop that. Stop and tell me your resource. You got a resource? Brother, come on.
Affirmative action.
Mike, stop. Look, the next time you call here, you better have a resource. I give you respect to let you say what you're going to say, but I also want you to give us some factual information with resources so you come back proper next time you call and you give me some source information, not what you've seen, okay? Bye-bye. This is your community connection, KBOO Portland. You know, I respect the fact that he's got strong opinions, but, and he doesn't have to agree with me. But come with some information and resources that we can back this mess up with. This is your community connection, KBOO. We want to let you know what else is coming up today at 9 o'clock, the Old Mo Variety Hour. Topics include the connection between big farms and bird flu. The mental health effects of living in the Trump era, and reports of a recent ICE raid in Woodburn. 10 o'clock has Chris Andre with Air Cascadia. 10:15, Locus Focus has Barbara Bernstein, and she checks with the former executive at Oracle who resigned in protest to his company joining Trump's transition team. Health Watch at 11 a.m. makes the case against sugar with author Gary Taubes. And at 11:30, Madness Radio, Mindfulness and Emotional Intelligence, how meditation can help with the struggle for social justice. Thank you, KBOO members, those of you for your generous support. And if you're not, you can become one now. Go to kboo.fm. Click on donate. Go into our next caller. Good morning, Al.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good. So, what are you doing to help women out, Al?
Well, what men need to do to help women out is we need to start talking amongst ourselves about this. We need to open the dialogue men to men. If you see something, say something. Check each other. If you see a guy harassing a woman, say something to him. Don't let him get away with this crap. It's just easy as that. We need to start talking amongst ourselves as men.
Okay.
That sounds like something you're very passionate about. How do you do it, or how do you interrupt conversations?
If I see something, like, say, at a bar, if I see a guy, like, manhandling the girl, I will go up, and I will actually physically, confront the guy and say, look, dude, that's not really cool. Treat her with some respect.
Okay. And what about in other places or other venues? Are there other ways men can support women, like in the workplace?
Oh, definitely the workplace. Same thing. If you see any kind of situation like that, say something about it. Even at the grocery store, you see guys walking by trying to, grope women, or the newest thing is the upskirt with the phone. Now, if you see it, say something. It's that simple.
Okay.
Thank you for being a good ally.
Yes.
No problem.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. And I just wonder, you mentioned about men harassing women.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get out of my mind the tape or the video of our president talking about how he physically harassed women. And,
well, this is what I would like to ask men to do, okay? This is a real basic thing that goes to the mental and emotional health of women. Take the time to tell your daughters, men, your nieces, your sisters, your wives, your mothers, any other females in your life that you value them and that this is not how you see them and that they have worth, that it goes beyond how they relate to men. So, if you are a father and you've got a daughter, you know what's out there in the world. Let her know that you are willing to stand up for her and that this is not how you feel about her. Let your wives know. Let your sisters know. Let your female coworkers know that you support them. And give them the kind of emotional and mental support that you would ask for from your friends if you felt that you were under siege. I had a father that was very supportive of me. Actually, I think more than anything, I was a daddy's girl. And he he validated my worth. He told me that my worth doesn't come from how he serves men, but how I serve men, but how I serve society and how I use my talents and skills to make this world a better place. And that helped me be secure in myself. Mm-hmm. When you have a male leader who tells women that that they are fair prey, that diminishes a lot of young girls' views of themselves and can cause some depression. Deal with that on a very basic level so that you don't have the young women in your life feeling that they are hopeless and their only role is to be subservient.
Okay, thank you. Let's see if we can get in a couple more callers before we have to leave. And let's go to Mike. Oh, Blake. Good mm-hmm. morning, Blake.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to express my disappointment in how you treated the previous caller, Michael, I think his name was. I would expect better of Tabu because you didn't agree with his point that he was trying to make. You basically hung up on him. I know he calls a lot, but he makes good points.
He makes good points, but he is reluctant to bring backup information, any resource information, any source information. And I don't mind that he disagrees with me. I don't know if you heard me say that or not, but I'm going to just say it. He pontificates without giving any resources. He does not cite any studies, any magazines, any television news, anything to back up his point. And so it becomes his opinion, and it becomes sometimes an uninformed opinion being promoted over the air. And we've had a long time relationship. I think Mike's been calling almost as long as the show's been on the air. And he knows I require this of him. And sometimes he'll try to back it up, and he'll try to get some information. So that's what I would expect from anyone who would say something as that is such a blanket, generalist, negative statement about a situation with no proof. I'd ask the same of you.
Right. Well, like anyone else, everyone has access to information, and we can cite information on a lot of different things. I'm sure he can too, but let's face it, oftentimes we all pontificate, right?
I'm sitting here with two computers right in front of me to look up stuff and make sure I give resources. And so when somebody says something, Cecil and I check it. He's in front of his computer. So if people are going to pontificate and they're not going to have any sources, they're going to get challenged. And I challenge everybody, not just Mike.
Okay. I think you let him go a little too quick.
Well, but that's the rule. That's the rule here. come with source.
But if if she didn't let him go, we wouldn't be able to talk to you.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's a challenge, but I appreciate it.
It's a balance.
It is. I understand it, but I detected a lot of hostility.
Well, you were wrong. I'm sorry to say there's a lot of love and respect for Mike because he does bring up some good points. And he'll tell you, we've talked sometime a long time because he was on the right case. He said something I might not have agreed with it, but he came correct. He didn't this time.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Right.
And people keep listening and keep offering your critique because we need it.
We like a critique. We do.
Let's see if we can get our last caller in. Oh, Big Mike.
A different Mike. Okay. Good morning.
Hello. This is Big Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Mike.
Okay.
I just want to rebel against that other Mike because when I was growing up, we picked cherries, whatever, in the fields. And these poor guys come from Mexico, right? They go through hell to get here. And then they pack them all in a little house. And back in the old days, after everything was harvested, the farmers would call in, like they call them ICE now, I guess, and get them all deported without paying them.
That's right.
And that's a bunch of, everybody's picking on them. It's like, come on, guys.
Well, you said it just right. There's often that these people will go down there, and by these people, I mean the big farmers. They'll go down to Mexico, get people, bring them up, have them work hard, not take care of them, and then call law enforcement on them. And actually, these same type of property owners had gone to Trump and told him, hey, we can't have this type of immigration control because we won't have anybody to pick our crops for free.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that up.
All right, you guys. Keep up the good work.
All righty.
Well, you have been listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey.
On a International Working Women's Day on Wednesday, March 8th, in any way you can.
Yes, indeed. And be sure to support your community radio, KBOO Portland.
Good morning. It's 8:59. And coming up next, the Old Mole Variety Hour. Topics include the relationship between big farms and bird flu, the mental health effects of the Trump era, and a recent ICE raid in Woodburn. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein checks back in with the former executive at Oracle, who resigned in protest to his company joining Trump's transition team. At 11, Health Watch makes the case against sugar with author Gary Tobbs. He'll delve into America's history with sugar and will explain what research shows about our addiction to sweets. And at 11:30, it's Madness Radio, voices and visions from outside mental health. Great programming because of KBOO members and your generous support. If you're not one, become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. It's 9 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
Diggy, take it to the beat. Diggy, take it to the beat. Diggy, take it to the beat. That's what we planned, but she stood me up. Roxanne, Roxanne. Roxanne, Roxanne. I wanna be your man. Roxanne, Roxanne. And here's our game plan.
Here's your game plan. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, March 9th, just before midnight, as we celebrate a trip back